I don't know about you. I think perhaps you might be on a similar stage. You might not be joining the Navy. You might be finding a job. You might have a job and look for another job. But we kind of all kind of have these steps, and we feel like, man, I wish God would just give me a plan. Like point A to point B, that would be so much easier. But that certainly was not the case for Victor, and I appreciate what he says after that. You know, he went through all the process. Who knows, 4 years from now, he broke an arm. I hope it doesn't happen, but if he broke an arm, physically he's unable to be in the Navy. Then what? But I think there's something that when we look at Scripture, God doesn't lead us in giving us a whole plan. And certainly the story that we're looking at today from Abram is similar to that. We've been learning about faith. We've been learning about faith is not something just that we believe in something, but that it moves us to do something. So today, the story that we're looking at from Genesis chapter 12, your Bible, please turn there. Jed read it for us earlier. We're going to spend the majority of our time here. Let me read from verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. Here's what is... I'll back a little bit. Chapter 11, verse 27 to 28, 31, 32. Give you some background of who Abram is. Okay, chapter 11, verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father, Terah, and in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Let me jump down to verse 31. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So basically, Abram and his father and his friends, his family, all grew up in this place called Ur. And they're supposed to move from Ur to this place called the land of Canaan, but somehow along the way they stopped in Haran. That is when his father passed away. And then that's when we enter into chapter 12. But before we go to chapter 12, I want you to understand that if you don't know, Ur is actually a very, very developed city. Is in the modern-day Iraq. It doesn't look like it now, but it actually, many historians believe that it's one of the earliest places of civilization. That meaning that people gathered like a city. They have an extensive system of writing, education. It's a very, very developed place. So it is a good place. In the ancient world, that would be like the New York City. That would be like Los Angeles. And it was there that God asked Abram to do something. He says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Go from, the other word in other version says leave. God told Abram, living there for over 75 years, to leave that place that he had known all his life. A place that he's familiar for a majority of his life. I mean, here's a guy who lived there for 75 years. He knows every good places to eat. He knows the dim sum place. He doesn't even know the way in line. He can just walk straight in. He knows with a shortcut from the freeway, from the local street. He can get by. Everybody knows him. He knows his neighbor's dog's name. He knows his neighbor's son's name. He knows everybody, and everybody knew him. It was a comfortable place. It was a place that he had known a lot of things he's familiar with. But here is where God said, you need to leave. You need to go. God called him to leave. God called him to go. God interrupted his life. It wasn't something that Abram was praying. At least we don't see from Scripture that Abram was like, pray God, take me away from this beautiful place. Take me away from my stable life. Take me away to this unknown place where I'm not used to. I don't know where it is. He never prayed that. But God somehow, for reason we don't know, called Abram and his family to leave everything that he's ever known, everything that's ever comfortable with and familiar with, and leave. You know, I think there are times that you and I get that same call from God. I'm not saying that God always calls you to away from comfortable life, always calls from what is known to what is unknown. But there are many times that I would say that God has called us to leave something. Maybe God has called you to leave some of those bad habits that you know that is not right with God. He's not calling to leave a place. He's calling to leave those habits, those character issues. Those lifestyles that you know are contradicting Scripture, he's calling you to leave that. There are also times that God calls you to leave people.
Maybe friends that you know are having bad influence on you, but you are, you know them, you're so familiar with them, you've been with them since you were young. But God said, you gotta leave them. And for some of us, God may call us to leave this comfortable life in America, what is known and familiar to us, to go overseas to do ministry that with people that we've never heard of. Or God may call you to leave your current job to move over to another country to do the exact same job where you get half the pay and you work double the hours. And in your heart, you know, like, God is calling you to leave. Like, you're leaving all that you're comfortable with, all that you're familiar with. And it's a hard thing to do. Leaving is always hard. Going from what is known and what is familiar is always hard. But sometimes God calls us to do that. And Abram responded to God's calling. And it is in fact, I would say it's almost an impossible thing to do. But what made Abram decide to leave, decide to pick up all of his family, decided to leave everything that he had ever had and known, and go to a place where he had no idea what it's about? What caused him, his faith, to move him out? I think the reason is simply this. It's like his faith is set up based on, Abram is set up based on not the command of God, but the promise of God. The reason why Abram left is not just because God said, leave. And you're like, no, that's what God said. That's the first thing God said. It's true. But here, what I want you to see is this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, which is the first verse. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from, leave your country and your kindred, your family, father's house, to the land that I will show you. But what follows is what oftentimes we forget to read on. Because verse 2 and 3 says this, that I will, meaning God will, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know what that is? That is not a command. That's a whole mess of promises. One command, leave. But if I highlight this for us. If you take God's word as is, there are 8 promises. God promised Abraham, if you leave, I have a promise for you. I promise that I will show you where you're going to go. I will make you into a great nation, which means that it's not just Abraham himself. You will become a great nation. God said, I'll bless you personally. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And then not only will I bless you, I'll bless those who bless you. And those who don't bless you and curse you, I'll curse them too. And not only that, not only would it be a local blessing, it would be an international, global blessing that all the families of the earth, not just the Jews, not just the Israelites, not just Asians, all the families of the earth will be promised to Abram that they will be blessed. See, many times we approach God's command, we become very command-oriented people. So our faith is all based on God's command, meaning that we know that God commands us, and by the way, God's commands are good. Read Psalm 119. It's real good. But the problem is we approach his commands feeling that we can manage those commands on our own. So when God said leave, our natural good Asian instinct is this. Yes, I will leave. I can do it myself. We'll become command-oriented people because you see what command says? Galatians tells us command is not meant to fuel you, give you power. Command is to show you that you're not able, that you fall short of God. Command shows you who God is and what you cannot do. But true power comes through God's grace and promise. See, Abram cannot just walk out on his own and say, I can do it, because halfway through, when something happens, he's going to say, no, I can't do this. I'm going to go back to my house. I'm going to go back to my family. I'm going to go back to what is known and familiar. See, we just try to obey God on our own. We can't do that. The only way for us to obey God is out of the promises of God, what God had already promised. God promised Abram, there are 8 promises. I'm going to promise you, I will give you this, I will do this, but what you need to do is, you need to come on out. Then the blessing will be poured forth into you. Then my promise will be fulfilled. So many times we become command-oriented. We say that we can do it, we can fulfill this command. But what we really need to do is, if we want to have faith in God, we need to look first to God's promise. God, because you promised that you will bless me, now I can have the faith to step out, to leave all that is ever known to me, all that is that is familiar to me. We need to be more promise-oriented than command-oriented. Some of you might be thinking, man, that sounds so selfish. Like, I only do something because God promised me something. But guess what? The message of the gospel precisely is that. You and I do not just randomly wake up one morning and say, I want to believe in Jesus. The reason why you want to believe in Jesus is because God already promised you that on the cross, that I pour forth my grace of forgiveness will be given to you. That is a promise. And you cannot fulfill that on your own. You cannot just say, I want to believe in Jesus. You see, God promised you already. You are simply replying, simply responding. That's what faith is. Faith sets out not on the basis of command, but on the basis of promises. And that's exactly what Abram did. Because of God's promise, now he stepped out in faith. Because of God's promise, now he walked out. And as we continue to read on Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, we see this. This is his response. So Abram went. Those two words, perhaps, are two short words, two small words, but one of the hardest things to do. Abram went. Abram left. God told him to go. Think about the times when God told you to leave something. Was your response, I went? Was your response, I left? Was your response, I did? Man, those are some of the hardest words to live out. But Abram went, and you hear what it says. Abram went as the Lord had told him, both the command and the promise. And Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the possessions, and they had gathered. And the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. We might be very impressed by just looking at this. He just left. And we should be. Man, this guy's faith, he has so much faith in God's promise that he's willing to just pick up and leave. But if we peel back the onion a little bit, what I want to show you is this in Hebrews chapter 11. No, that was the wrong reference. Chapter is Hebrews 11, 8. Sorry, not 12, Genesis 12, 8. Hebrews 11 is the hall of fame of faith. People who have, that was brought up through the Old Testament time, that people exhibit faith in God. And in commenting on who Abraham was, here's what it says. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. That this land would be his, this promise would be given to him. And I want you to notice what it says. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Abram picked up his bag and left without knowing exactly where he was going. He was told to go to this place called the land of Canaan. It's like me telling you, why don't you pick up your bag tomorrow, leave, and go to Nebraska? Your question is, Nebraska where? Like Lincoln, Nebraska? Or whatever that little town that is in Nebraska? See, Abraham, no idea. All he knew was that he was supposed to go to the land of Canaan. And that's what active faith is. Active faith is not just setting out on the promise of God. Active faith also set out without a compass. He had no GPS, he had no plan, he has nothing in his hand saying that I'm supposed to go there. Imagine, you put yourself in Abram's shoes. How silly this might sound. His neighbor saw him, 75 years old dude, living with him, know him all his life. Hey, you're packing up. I said, yeah, I'm packing up. I'm going somewhere. Where are you going? Canaan? Oh, where in Canaan? I don't know. I'll figure it out when I get there. God will show me. Oh, okay. You know where you're going to stay when you get there? You do have a big family. You do have a lot of possessions. You do have a lot of cattle and horses. Who's going to feed you? I don't know. When I get there, God will show me. Like, imagine having that conversation. Going out without a map, going out without a compass, going out. You know, every time I travel, granted, I'm a little OCD, but when I travel, I literally have a folder with every direction that we'll ever take on every street. Even though I know my phone is working, I print out a set of instructions. I print out a set of instructions to check in to the airport. I print double copies of my boarding pass. Like, I'm one of those guys that, like, super crazy about planning. Imagine if God told me, go, just go. Just go there. But that's exactly what Abraham did. God said, go to the land of Canaan. See, active faith means that we have to step out, not because we have all the information in the world, but because we know that God will be the one leading. And because that's exactly what Abraham did. He continued to travel. See, after he was told he was going to the land of Canaan, when they came to the land of Canaan, he just crossed the border. Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem. He just kept going. They said, well, this seems to be the place where God is calling me to do. They stopped there, build an altar, and move on. From there, he moved to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched a tent. He went on, built an altar, and it feels like, oh, God wanted to stay here for a little bit, but that's not the place. Keep walking. Then Abraham journeyed on, still going on toward the Negev, which is the southern end of where the land of Canaan is supposed to be. They just go place to place to place, believing that was exactly where God called them to. Only to, you know, pick it up again, travel again. And we're not talking of going from like Los Angeles to, not going from like Chinatown to like San Diego Valley. They're going hundreds of miles. Their faith has taken them on a journey where they have no idea where things are. But that's what real faith is. It's not to figure out everything that we need to know and then I take a step and go. It's not figuring that, God, you need to tell me the 10 miles ahead. But you see, God leads us with just telling us the next two steps. I love the story that Victor was sharing about his own life. You know, God showed him one way that doesn't work. God didn't tell him all three of these options not going to work. God, take them one step at a time, one step at a time. Recently, I came across a phrase, I love it, and it says this, God steers a moving ship. You guys are all familiar with ship, right? What changed the direction of the ship or a boat? The rudder. Now, if the boat is not moving, you can turn the rudder all you want. That boat just staying there in the dock, not going anywhere. It's not going to the left, it's not going to the right, that rudder just keep moving. You can turn all you want. That boat is not moving. And that is the same way. See, the only way for the boat to start turning is when the boat starts moving. Because when the ship starts moving, when you turn, that's when it starts directing that boat to go to the left, to the 280 degree, to the 10 degree, whatever it is. The steering only happens when the boat is moving, when the ship is moving. Same thing is true for your life and my life. God doesn't just teleport us from one destination to another destination, from one life stage to another life stage. He calls us to start moving by faith. If you take that one step of faith, God said, I'll steer you. I am steering. I've been steering you. But you got to move. See, because with the next step, you know you're doing the next thing that you know God is calling you to do. He starts steering you this direction. The next thing, you start steering direction. But when you look back, you realize how far you have turned, where God has led you. At the moment, you might not seem like there are a lot of things to change in your life. You might not have all the information like Abram. You might not have the map. You might not have the compass. But here's the thing. God doesn't want you to know the whole thing. Because God is not interested just getting you from one place to another. God is interested about you. God wants you. God wants you to trust Him. God wants to build a relationship with you. Getting you from A, B to C is not God's interest. God knew one day when Christ comes that you'll be with Him forever. That is our final destination. And God is not so interested in just passing us through, getting us around. You know, when I think about my own life and my family life, you ask me, we've been here in this church 5 years. 5 years ago, I never heard of this church. I pass by this church all the time. But one thing led to another. I never applied for this church. When I first started here, they won't have a position to be a pastor. They don't even have a position necessarily for an intern at the time when I first started coming. But you see, God called me one step, and I committed to come to be a member of the church before we decided to be on staff with this church. We come, we serve. God took us and said, I don't even know, by the time I graduated, you know, you can talk to Pastor Chung. You know, we were still trying to figure out what we're going to do with me, what we're going to do with our English congregation. But God took us one step. We only took one step. We took one step. By the time 5 years looking back, I'm where we're at right now. You ask me 5 years from now where God's going to take me, I don't know. But all I know is that I'm supposed to be faithful right now at this place. See, God does the same thing with us. And here's the thing. Are you moving? The question I want to ask you, are you moving? Are you taking steps of faith? Because if you're not, don't wait for God to steer you, because maybe He is moving you, pointing you to the direction that He wants you to go. But if you're not taking that step of faith, God only steers a moving ship. And I was changed that to say, God only steers a Christian who is walking by faith. Are you walking by faith? See, active faith steps out not based on the command, but based on the promises of God. Active faith also sets out without a compass, without knowing all the truth, without knowing all the where we're supposed to go. And here's the last thing. Faith sets out to worship God every step along the way. Faith sets out to worship God every step along the way. By having faith is not just our safety net for God to call in, to lead us somewhere. Again, God is not interested in a destination. God is interested in you, in a relationship with you. And what active faith does, as we will see in Abraham's life, is that it is not just trying to get God to get him to the land of Canaan, because along the way, he did something special. Every single place I've gone to, here's what he did. When he went to Shechem, to the Oak of Moreh, he built an altar. When he moved to Bethel, a little south, further south, again, he built an altar. You know what an altar is? Altar literally just a stack of stones, building those days. But it is a place of worship. It is a place of remembrance. It is a place to remind people that God was with them, God worked through them, there is an encounter with God, that they are there to worship God. So every place that Abraham walked through, he built an altar, because I assume that he thought, this is the place, this is where God had called me, and he worshiped God. And it was at that moment, that was the place, and he worshiped God. And perhaps for you and I, we need to do the same thing when we have faith in God. We need to build some altars to remember what God is doing in our lives. Because let's be honest, you and I are forgetful people. God would have done something amazing for us 2 months ago. If we don't start building some altars to remember that, 4 months from now, 2 months from now, a month from now, we might go through the exact same challenge and we will easily forgotten that God had led me through that path. Perhaps one of the greatest encouragement I've received from one of my mentors is, mark these moments down. Write it down, journal it down, take a picture of it. Record it on a voice recorder. Take a video of it. Mark the process down. That's a great example of the video that Victor was doing with me. That is a moment one day you can look back to that and remember that God had led him through this point. Would life be different from then on? Maybe. Who knows? God knows, but we need to start building altar to remember. I showed this before. I just bookmarked made for me 2005 in the middle of nowhere in Kyrgyzstan. I have my live verse on it from Isaiah 49:6. I have this today. It's been rebounded many, many times because it just gets frazzled often. But it was for my team, my mission team, who made it for me, and I share with them kind of where God has led me. And here's what the verse says. It says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribe of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. That day when they gave to me, God gave me a quiet time that day and spoke to me that, be involved in ministry that is not just about the church. I never thought I would be involved in a church plant. When I was going through seminary, I was thinking about ministry. I was thinking, oh, let's go to mission. Let's go. When I graduate, I'll be a church that's established. You know, I never thought of being in a church that is being planted, recent, a young church. But that day, God spoke to me through the verse and says, "Then it's too small a thing for you to just be involved in the church. I have something greater for you, something that will cause you to be a light to those who have yet to know you. This is my altar." This is what every time I open my Bible, I mark it right where I read last. Every morning I open up my Bible, I see that. That reminds me of that moment that God had led me. And that was over 15 years ago. And so next step, when I'm struggling, when I figure out, God, where are you leading us as a church? Where are you leading me as my life? Where are you leading me in my family? I look at this and remember that altar that, God, you are leading. I don't know where you're going, but you've led. surely you will eat again. And so the question I want to ask you, I want to encourage you to do is this. Mark down some of the things that God is leading you. You don't need to have all the answers. But start marking those things. Start highlighting the verse. Start writing the date on the passage that God has spoken to you. You need these altars to remember what God is doing. But not only is this a place of remembrance and worship. Here's the last thing. Altar is a place of testimony. You got to remember, God did not call Abram to go to the land of Canaan because it was Hawaii. Because it was a vacation spot. If you ever study ancient Near East history, you know that that place in the land of Canaan, actually it was a ghetto. It's a place filled with violence, sexual immorality. It was a bad place. It's not a place that you want to move in. It's not Bel Air. It's not Beverly Hills that you want to move in. It's nice and cozy. The people there are violent. People there have been sinning against God. This is precisely the reason Abraham, no idea, but God was calling Abraham to redeem this place of evil so that he would fill this place with God's own chosen people. That was the reason behind it, why God wanted Abraham to do it. And see, when we go back to the story, chapter 12, verse 5, here it says, when they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land of the place at Shechem to the oak of Moreh. If you study the place of Shechem, what you will find is this, that it was a place of many, many cults. It was a place where many, many gods were worshipped. And in fact, the Oak of Moreh, likely to be a place of where some of the cultish teaching was done. Many times, a historian tells us that those are the places where the teaching are being done and they're under the tree, and that's where the cults, all these other religions that are false, that are immoral, that are wrong, there have been spreading the words all over the land of Canaan. And surprisingly, God brought Abram to this land of Moreh, the Oak of Moreh. And it was there when Abram erected that altar. Now imagine if you're one of those people who are worshiping all these other false gods. Fast forward 50 years later when you realize that Abram really had the one true God. You have seen how that one true God have delivered this land to Abram and to his descendants. And every time you look at that altar, you remember that this was that one true God. It wasn't the God that we believe. It wasn't the God of telling me to do these immoral things. It wasn't the God of violence. It was the one true God. Every time they look at the altar, they remember it's a testimony. It is a way of evangelizing to the community, to the society. I want to challenge you. Are you declaring that? Are you building altars? Are your lives altars that declare the goodness of God and the marvelous deeds of God? You and I are living altars every single day around this community, around your school, around your work. People see you. Are you those altars? Every single day, that tells how great God is. That reflect how great God is. When people see your life, are you declaring your action, your words? Are you declaring the glory of God to the nations? The marvelous deeds to all the peoples? We don't need to build rocks. We don't need to stack about 10 columns of rocks outside of our church. That might look kind of funny. People drive down St. Gabriel Boulevard and say, wow, what are they doing? Stonehenge? But here's the thing, your life and my life can't be an altar. But that altar can be built if we don't exercise our faith in Jesus. Because that altar will be a fake altar. It will be nothing of substance. It will never experience and live out a walk out by faith. Abram walked up by faith. And that's why he built that altar to remember God, to worship God. You know, active faith, I'll end on this, active faith rarely involves easy decision. It was not easy for Abram to walk out and leave. Walk of faith is never easy. It was not easy for Jesus to die and walk by faith and die on the cross. Think of the time when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. But here's the thing I want to ask you. Will you set out and leave because of the promise of God? Will you fix your eyes on the promise of God so that you have the faith to leave? Will you set out by faith, even though you don't know every detail of your life, every detail is going to be planned out, you don't have the map, you don't have the compass. And will you set out to walk by faith and worship God every step along the way? then no matter God where God leads you, you are worshiping Him. You are become a loudspeaker maker from Him. Let's pray together.
Father, we come before you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Abram. And Lord, we know as great as Abram's faith was, greater is you, our one true God. Lord, his faith can only be great because you are a great God. Because your promise always will be fulfilled. Because you never failed. You never lied to us. Every promise that's been made by you is always yes in Christ. And so, Lord, to that we want to put our faith in you. We want to set out even though when things don't make sense. Lord, we want to set out even though when it's hard. Lord, would you help us to follow you wherever you lead us? Would you help us to follow you and serve those around us, whoever that you brought into our lives? God, you said without faith, it is impossible to please you. So Lord, I pray that we will please you more and more this week as we go on out and follow you and set, and put our faith in Jesus' name we pray.